you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
I was like freaking out. I was like walking around LAX.
I can just imagine you.
I was.
And then he just went in with a scrub, like two hands, kah, 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 like all over my body in the middle of your
thigh. Cannot say where it is.
So you're gatekeeping a little
bit.
I'm gatekeeping.
Hello, friends. You're listening to How to LA, the podcast that helps you connect with happenings in the city. I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Today, we're bringing you our monthly segment, Social Calendar. Y'all already know the other VIP sitting next to me, the lovely LAist host, Miss Antonia Cerejido. Hey, Antonia.
Hi, Brian.
And before we dig into our convo with our special guest, I want to remind folks what Social Calendar is all about. We're here to introduce you to new things. We share these tidbits to talk about what's going on in LA. We talk about art exhibitions. We've talked about gay parties, late night cafes, ways to garden, anything that might inspire you to connect with LA and its people. Okay, today our guest is another award-winning journalist, TV and podcast host, Dexter Thomas. Hey, Dex.
What's up?
Okay, come on, sultry voice.
I'm not wearing the headphones, so I'm not listening to myself.
Okay. Well, I'm letting you know.
Thank you. Hey, if I can get it from you, I'll take it. There you go.
I got to talk a little bit more about you and how we met. You know, Dexter and I go way back to when we were both in our mid-20s, I want to say, working at the LA Times. Is that right?
Boy, I was already 30.
Oh, okay. Well, you're aging yourself here.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Since then, Dexter has been around the world reporting about Korean hip-hop, police brutality in the U.S., furries, and a lot more topics. Mm-hmm. He used to work for Vice News, so you might have caught him hosting a show. And if you don't know, you've definitely heard his music on this show. We've actually used his instrumental vibes on our episodes, and he's very multi-talented.
I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yes, oh, yeah. We're actually going to get into his album.
It's all over Finding Home Kondaka.
Oh my gosh! Award-winning. Recently award-winning.
Yes. Award-winning. So trust me, I'm taking that all the way to the bank. That's going on my resume, the CV, when I'm the job search. Like, hey, yo, did you know that I produced music for the award-winning podcast, Finding Home Kondaka?
You have an Emmy yourself, dude.
I got a couple.
Okay, come on, resume. And you just released a lo-fi album. We were just talking about it right now, which was a joke, but it's pretty chill. Like, you can actually do work with it.
How do we find the lo-fi album?
It's called Nobody Will Ever Love You If You Keep Listening to Lo-Fi, Volume
okay.
1. Yeah. With such tracks as Miyazaki Was Right. There True. Are 1,094 episodes of One Piece. You watch them all. Why? Basically, the long story short is I actually don't like lo-fi very much, and I was in a cafe, and I was trying to explain to somebody why I don't like lo-fi, and they didn't get it, so I just downloaded a couple samples right in front of them and just made a lo-fi track in like 5 minutes, and they said, well, this sounds great, which is not what I wanted. I was trying to show them that this is silly, so I just kind of kept doing it. It was a joke, but yeah, it's out on Spotify if you want to listen to it. I don't know.
And can we kind of just untangle your running joke since I've met you?
There's a lot of running jokes.
There is a lot of running jokes with Dexter, Antonia, by the way. But when he was out and about, when we were working at the LA Times together, his thing was get off the internet. And he still says it to me nowadays. I'll be on Instagram and he'll like message me, get off the internet. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. So can you untangle that a little bit?
And it's a bad place, man. I feel like you should get off the internet. Actually, if you look at my Twitter, I have a Twitter thread going back to, I think, 2018, which is just me saying get off the internet. And a lot of people think that is automated or is AI. It's not. I would log into Twitter specifically. I would type in with my fingers, get off the internet, and I would log back off. And that's all I would do on Twitter. So if you look at my Twitter account right now, which I have not touched, and I will not call it X, it's Twitter.
Yeah.
If you look at my account right now, mostly all it is just that thread, and you can scroll all the way up, and hopefully it gives you some inspiration. Just, you know, get off the internet, do things. This is what we're talking about today. Get off the internet, do something in real life, you know what I mean? Go out and see LA, you know, experience.
Exactly.
Perfect segue to our next question.
Oh, wait, I do want to just add that this is my first time meeting Dexter, but Dexter was the host of one of my favorite podcasts ever, which is, it's called The Life of Pablo, right?
Oh, you're talking about Authentic.
Authentic, yes.
Authentic, yeah, yeah. Yeah, with a rapper named Tablo, who people describe the podcast as a K-pop true crime
podcast. Yes, that is what it is.
Which, that's not what we intended to, but as soon as it came out, somebody tweeted that, and I realized, oh my God, I made a true crime podcast.
But like, it has like the juicy, like you keep wanting to hear the next episode element of a true crime, but it goes into like Korean culture, music. It's just like, it's a really... like, it's one of those podcasts that's, like, I think, like, a perfect podcast. So
thank you. Oh, my gosh.
I really recommend it. If you haven't, if you're listening to this, after this, you have to go listen to Authentic.
But before that, listen to Party Cruise.
Okay, yeah.
Before that, listen to Party Cruise.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because we also did a show with Vice and host Janice Yamoka, who you worked with at Vice, who's amazing. Shout out to her. All about the Party Cruise scene here in LA in the 2000s.
Yeah, which I, like, grew up adjacent to. I knew of it. I was never a participant. I mean, I would occasionally show up to one of these things, but like obviously I wasn't in a crew, but hearing the background of it and what it was really like to really be in the scene was cool. So yeah, check that out.
Because you grew up in the IE, right?
San Bernardino.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Original 909.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
The area code feud. A18.
Yes.
Antonia, what are you gonna rap?
I grew up in San Diego.
You're like, pass, girl.
So 858.
You're
not that cool. We're repping Dr. Seuss. Like, it's not cool.
All right. Before we talk about how our calendar's been looking like, I want to ask you a surprise rapid fire question. Antonia doesn't even know what it is.
Okay, I don't.
Okay.
You have 10 seconds for a response, and I'm going to call on you first, Dexter.
Okay.
When you're ordering at a taco stand, what is it? Are you going for birria? Are you going for chicken, asada, or al pastor? Or maybe you have a wild card that I didn't mention.
Lengua.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dexter's a lengua dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Lengua. That's the first thing, just off bat. Because I feel like if they can do that right, they can do anything else right. So like, I'll get that first, and then I'll go on to everything. Lengua, if they got that right, the asada is going to be good, because you can't mess that up unless you're really doing something wrong. But what I would actually want to eat, asada, I think. Yeah, but I'll try the lengua first.
By the way, lengua is cow tongue for those of you who don't know.
Right.
Antonia, what is your taco pick?
I think I'm an al pastor lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Pretty sencillo. My family's from Argentina, so we're like... Argentina is a weird country in Latin America for our food. We're like, we don't like spicy things, which is strange. And like, the food is amazing. And there's really good Argentine restaurants in LA. But tacos were something that like, yeah, because I grew up in San Diego. San Diego, it's like a burrito place. Like, it's not a taco place.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But moving to LA, like, yeah, and a pastor taco, like late at night, there's nothing better.
I actually had to get used to tacos, honestly, in LA. Because I would rather get a burrito. Like, that's the real thing. I feel like tacos is just, there's too much fiddling around with it. Like, just give me like the most efficient food delivery system, which is a burrito. I don't think there's anything like that's just like, it's
the most, a bowl and a tortilla.
It's the most high tech food that's out there. Burrito.
I got it.
It's like the most evolved form of food.
Yeah.
Like, this, we're living in the, you know, 30th century with a burrito. Everybody out here eating bowls. Like, what are you doing? Burritos. Like, come to the future.
Y'all, by the way, y'all have really California kids responses. I love them. But as a Mexican, I'm going to say asada. Like,
okay.
I'm going to go straight. Like, kind of like you said, you would want to do asada.
Eat. Yeah, the asada. That's what I'm going to actually like.
Yeah. I'm trying your stand for the first time. Let me see how your asada is. Let me see how your tortilla is. You know, like the salsa and everything. I sometimes get scared with, and I love al pastor. I get scared about it. The lengua too, I get scared because I'm like, if you mess it up, my stomach, you know, I have a sensitive stomach. And usually I'm getting tacos like after 8 p.m., you know, when I'm out and about. So that's my take. Okay. Asada.
Yum.
That's it. You can't go wrong with it.
We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back to talk about the happenings in LA that you should know about.
support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting American Mariachi by Jose Cruz Gonzalez. It's the 1970s and women can't be mariachis. Or can they? American Mariachi is a feel-good comedy about familia, amor, and tradición that will send your heart soaring and put a bounce in your step with a wave of vibrant, infectious live music. On stage through June 9th, tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
All right, let's share what's been happening on our calendars. Antonia, I want to know what's cooking with you.
Okay, so this week I want to talk about something that you can't really plan, but I feel like is a classic LA experience, which is a celebrity sighting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd you see?
Well, this is sort of an older celebrity sighting, but it was like my most epic celebrity sighting, and there's been recent developments.
Okay.
So...
ongoing sighting.
Yeah,
there's
it's an ongoing sighting.
Yeah.
I think it was 2018 or 19, I was in LAX and there was a guy walking around playing the flute. And I was like, this is so crazy.
No.
That guy looks
just
like Andre 3000.
Stop it.
I was like, I was sending pictures to my friends being like, I think this is Andre 3000 and he's playing a flute. And people were like, that's definitely not him. And also, that's not a flute. A lot of people were like, that's not the shape of a flute. And I was like, I swear it sounds like a flute.
Right.
And like, I think it's Andre 3000. I was like freaking out. I was like walking around LAX.
I can just imagine you.
I was losing my mind. Also because I love Andre 3000. Mm-hmm. So then...
As you should, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was like this really nice family. And I went up to them because they were like kind of close to him. And I was like... And they were Mexican. And I was like, it had Andre 3000. They're like, ah, no sabemos, no sé. And then the, it's so cute. Yeah. And then the lady calls me over. She goes, creo que sí, creo que sí.
Oh my God.
So I go up to him and I'm like... Then I realize it's Andre 3000 because I'm close enough to him. And I'm like...
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan of yours. I was like, also, is that a flute? Because everyone was clowning me, being like, that can't be a flute. He's like, yes, it's a pan flute. I got it specially made. Then
wow.
I took a picture with him and I like posted it to Twitter. I was like, oh my God, I've been freaking out thinking this was Andre 3000. And it was. Okay, you know that story of like the lady who like tweeted the racist thing and then when she landed found out that she had been fired?
Yes.
I had like the opposite experience where like I tweeted this thing. Turned my phone off.
Oh.
I landed and I was like, it
you
was
had a
like
job.
The biggest thing on Twitter. It was crazy.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
And it was like, it blew up.
Wait a second. I might have, were you one of the first people to like find him out in
the
wild?
I was the first person.
I've probably seen this tweet.
Yes. Yeah. 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 You have. Because then I got interviewed by CNN.
What?
What?
I got The Guardian wrote an article where it was like about the flute renaissance and like my name was in the opening paragraph.
Wow.
Yo.
It's like
journalist Antonia Cerejido.
It was so embarrassing also that like to this day that's my biggest thing I've done was see Andre 3000 at the airport. But anyway, as
you leaked my man's record before there was a record.
Wow.
Like you leaked that he was working on it. That is amazing.
It was crazy. And it was really cool because it was like such a nice story. Like it was so but as it was all happening, the guy who made the flute, Guillermo Martinez, reached out to me and he's like, I made the flute. And then I like posted about like his music, whatever. Then the album came out. And I wrote to the press people. I was like, I really want to go see his performance.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes. And so I went recently to the guy who made the flute's studio, which is here in a town called Silverado. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And he goes by Quetzalcoatl Music. And if you want like the sickest flute you've ever seen, hit him up. He makes these like very gorgeous made-to-order flutes.
Wow.
And it was really cool seeing how he constructed the instrument. And then I went 2 days later to see Andre 3000 perform at Luna Luna. And we've talked about Luna Luna before
yeah.
here on the show. And I'm kind of a Luna Luna hater. Because
okay.
Have you heard of Luna Luna?
I haven't been. I think I've heard of it, but
I've
never
like
been.
It's like Drake took like all
that thing. Yes.
The
amusement park thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
It just seemed like Instagram museum vibes to me. I was like, I don't know how real this is, but I have to say, so this was the first time I went. I thought it was like a perfect use for the show for the venue. And I mean, Usher was sitting like two seats in front of me and I could see his dimples.
Aww.
And I was like, they're right there, the dimples that I like, love. And I was like freaking out about that. And it's funny because I like leaned over to my husband and I was like, Usher sitting right there. And he's like, where? And I was like, in front of the guy with the bucket hat. And my husband was like, everyone is wearing a bucket hat.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. But it was great. It was like, it was really cool because like Andre 3000, first of all, it was like it was like very experimental. Like you were really like had to like get into it.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't, none of the music is like played again. Like it's all improv.
Mm.
And there was one point where he just started talking and like saying a bunch of words. And I was like, I don't recognize this language. And then he goes, I just made all of that up.
Oh.
And then he was like, you should have seen the look on all y'all's faces. Like,
oh my God.
And it made me realize like, he's just like, he's great because he's both so deep and soulful genuinely, but also has this like really playful.
Yeah.
He knows that he's having like fun, like playing a cosmic joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like for me, it felt like full circle of my,
wow,
my Andre 3000 sighting.
That is amazing. Have you got to interview him since then?
No. And I did ask and they said no. And if
that's
his people are listening now, I'm still interested.
Let her in. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this needs to happen.
So this all started in 2018, 2019, and now it culminated just recently.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
very LA story.
I know. And it's like LAX is like, I've seen a bunch of other people. I don't know. Have you guys had any good LAX sightings?
No.
Really?
Mm. No. And I used to be there a lot. I don't think I've seen anybody. Also, when I get into LAX, I'm like half asleep. I'm not paying attention. I'm just trying to get through TSA.
Dexter, so when we were talking about you coming on the show and doing this segment with Antonia and I was like, so what are you doing? And you're like, I can't. I want to share it, but I can't. What did you end up figuring out? What are you going to share on the show that you're doing in LA?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's, should I talk about the thing I can't talk about?
Ooh, the intrigue.
I'll
mention a little bit. Okay. I mean, so there's a spot that a friend put me on and it's in Little Tokyo. And I cannot say where it is.
So you're gatekeeping a little bit.
I'm gatekeeping. And this friend told me that he gatekeeps.
Okay.
And he was telling me because he felt like he could trust me. And so I have to respect that. But also I've been there and it's a cool spot. But I'm not going to tell you where it is because I actually do feel like there's a certain few places like you blow up these spots and then that's it. And it's not like this place is hurting for business or anything like that. But I feel like it is a space where people who are actually from the community can feel like they're not just being overrun by tourists, which, let's be real, a lot of Little Tokyo is that right now. A lot of places are like that, especially when you got, you know, people from the community can't live there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so so that is one place that, you know, every once in a while I'll drop in. But the place that is, I will not gatekeep.
Okay.
And I encourage everybody to jump into is, for me, man, my place in LA is public transportation.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I get on a bus. I get on a train. Like, I actually like being on the train. One of my favorite things in LA is getting on the train or getting on a bus and seeing two people, especially like two OGs or something like that, who recognize each other and somebody gets on. It's like, oh, yo, how's it going? And they're catching up. That's one of my favorite things is it's almost like being in a moving living room.
Yeah.
And that's
it
one
does
of my
feel
favorite.
Like that.
It's great. And like, I know how people like to go to a coffee shop or whatever. I edit podcasts.
Audio?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yo, I wrote a little bit of the album on the train. Because here's the thing, is like on the train the internet sucks.
Yes.
No distractions, get off the internet.
Genius. Oh.
Yeah.
That's and so smart.
Also editing, I like to edit stuff in the environment that I think somebody's gonna listen to it in.
Oh.
And so you know, on a train there's gonna be noises, and so I need the music to be low enough to where, along with the distractions from outside and the music, that the volume of the audio of the conversation still kind of shines through. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I get a lot of work done on trains. So sometimes I'll just hang out and observe, but other times, like, I've done real work. I've written part of my dissertation on a train.
What's the best line?
Video on a train. Best line. Ooh. I like the Expo line. Yeah. It's probably because I know it because I used to live in Santa Monica.
Right.
But that's a good line. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, get on the train. See. Ride the bus.
Antonia, next time we're editing our podcast, you know, yes. You're more of a producer than I am. You really get into it, but...
Well, this is a very pro public transportation segment, but no one suggested using the train as a place to work, and I think that is like such a good idea.
Yeah.
I just love that.
I'm very pro public transportation. I have the Metro bikes, you know, all mm-hmm. the things. Like, yeah, I'm a fan. So that's my thing.
I love that.
That's my thing. Even when I'm just bored, I'll just get on the train and I'll just get off somewhere. I don't know.
Next time you gotta take me with you and show me how you edit on the laptop.
The trick is you want to sit all the way in the back if you can, because you know you do need to keep your eye on what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you just get all the way in the back, so your back is to kind of the wall or whatever, and then you just open up your laptop. You can work on your phone, read a book. I've read a bunch of books. I'm reading Malcolm X's autobiography right now. Read that on the bus. It feels better than reading in the library. Also, other spot, Little Tokyo branch of the library.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, that's my other spot is the library. Instead of going to coffee shops, I've been going to the library. Can't beat it, man.
All right. Our public library, public Please. Transportation men here.
Shout out to the librarians.
Yeah.
Love that.
Cool. I'm going to wrap up the segment with my pitch to people.
Yes.
Which is, I want to get people to give a little bit of self-care to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want people to try a Korean spa for once in their life.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, Antonia, have you been to one?
Yeah, I went to Olympia with my mom. It was an all-women's Korean spa, and it was really cute.
Really cute
mother-daughter day.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Dexter, I haven't.
I only hear good things, though.
Let me try to sell you to this,
okay?
One, I feel like I'm the only... person in LA who, well, now we know that Dexter hasn't gone either, but like I mentioned this to a few friends and they're like, yeah, girl, you ain't been. And I'm like, no, I guess not. But my friend was visiting. She used to live in Koreatown. You know Andrea, Dexter.
Yes.
She's visiting and she's like, the one thing I want to do when I'm in LA, because she lives in DC right now, is I have to go to the Korean spa. And she's like, it'll be super cute. We'll make it a day. We'll like sleep in, have like a breakfast burrito or whatever, go to Korean spa.
Wow. Sounds like the best day already.
Literally. We went to the Crystal Spa at the H Mart Shopping Center. It's on 6th in Mariposa.
Yep.
Really busy area of Koreatown. You can get a Korean barbecue around there. You can get seafood around there. But this particular spa, which is in that shopping center, it has all these types of services. Facials, massages, acupressure. The one thing that Andrea pitched me is like, you should get the body scrub because you're not going to get that like at the fancy spa that you could go to at your gym. You're not going to get that at another place because this is the Korean treatment, right? And I'm like... Sure. So the body scrub, for those of you who are not familiar, is literally someone in this. I had an older guy and then he just went in with a scrub, like two hands, ka, 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 like all over my body, you know, in the middle of your thighs and in your feet, your calluses, maybe your elbows,
Whoa.
Your armpits. Like he was just in there, you know, and he was quiet and I was quiet. I'm like, this is kind of awkward, kind of cool. I feel relaxed, but at times I'm like, damn, homie was really going in, right?
Yeah.
It felt like, just like he was getting a little bit of his anger issues out on me. like, you know, but at the same time, he was gentle. And then, you know, they kind of like keep washing you over because a lot of your dead skin cells just fall off with that scrub. And at the end, I had the package where like they massage you a little bit and homeboy was just in there. I was like, yeah, that's what I needed. I needed someone to just like be on those knots in my back.
Uh-huh.
And so after that scrub or after you're in your individual like men's room and the women's room, Andrea was just like, oh, let's meet after our scrubs in the middle. And there's like this middle area where you can eat, you can relax, you can sleep or whatever. And so we actually took a nap, like a little 20-minute lap. And I was just like, it's such an LA thing. I'm like, why haven't I done it before? So my pitch to someone that is listening and wants to do self-care or just wants something different, like go to a Korean spa, spend a couple hours there and maybe do the body scrub.
Do you feel renewed?
I definitely did. Like I felt pretty. Like my skin was soft. I already have soft skin, by the way, you know.
Get out of
the skin is popping.
Brian's skin is amazing. It's true. I'm always like, why?
But it just felt nice to do something different. And, you know, we actually ended up getting Korean tofu right after.
I was about to say, yeah, what was the food like? Yeah.
Not in the spot. We actually went somewhere else. So that's my pitch to you. Go to Koreatown, Korean spa, then Korean food after.
That's a good pitch. I like it.
Okay, y'all, I hope you had fun listening and were inspired to connect with LA and its people in some way. Thanks again to my wonderful co-host, Antonio Cerejido, and guest, Dexter Thomas. If you want to share what's been popping up on your calendar, hit me up on howtoLA@scpr.org. Who knows, Antonio and I might be inspired to bring you on the mic. Until next time, bye.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So great.
Yeah. Thank you. Anytime.
This episode was produced by Monica Bushman. Our Hot to LA team also includes Erica Washington, Evan Jacoby, Megan Botel, and Victoria Alejandro. Our executive producer is Megan Larson, and our engineer is Hazmik Pagosian. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.